We are going to celebrate a theme.
Yeah, we are at the end of another month, February of 2023.
Explain.
We have a pig, a guinea pig, and she's on the back of... We bought her this lovely little dog bed. We thought it would be a brilliant Christmas present for Moogie, our pig. And she's just terrified
she
to
doesn't
sit
like
inside
it.
The actual the bed bit. So she tries to lean on the edge and then fall off.
Just getting it a little bit more comfy.
Anyway, that distracted us. But what we were going to say is we're going to celebrate a theme. We have had a wonderful life theme this month, suggested by Denise. Thank you very much, Denise. And it was India.
Yeah, we explored, well, basically pretty much a whole continent, if not a whole country, it felt like, in 28 days. But we just scratched the surface, if that. But have had a wonderful month just getting to know just lots of different... different things, different elements, different songs, different films, different artwork.
Oh yeah, and what we've done is we've really tried to clear the decks a bit in terms of all the more complicated bits of life theming. Just focus on just having as much time as we can just to do the theme in our own way. So that's why if there's people here listening to this who are life themers, you might have noticed that things have simplified with the website and stuff. But it's been great. Over the last couple of months this year, I feel like we've done a huge amount more of the kind of the rich, deeper stuff in life theming.
Yeah. Yeah, we spend the time that we have for it. We manage to get, more in-depth experiences and really, yeah, kind of. I feel like I'm connecting with the theme every day now in some way and recording that. So
and with our this podcast, how it's called is 10 ways that the theme changed our life. So this time is 10 ways that India changed our life. And I do genuinely believe, even in this 28 days, and we'll have many more days to connect with India if we want to, but definitely in this intense deep dive into it, I feel like it's had a fantastic impact on me as a theme.
Certainly has. And even though you and I haven't been to India, I'm sure one day we will, and we have that connection with it now. So cheers to India.
Here's to our mango lassi. Yum, yum, yum.
A mango lassi. So explain what a mango lassi is.
Mango lassi is fruit and yogurt and ice. And I put a bit of salt in mine. And we had saag paneer earlier. Did you enjoy that, Adam?
Yeah, I did. I didn't really rock my boat that much.
I reckon we're probably going to, I'd love to hear why, but we're probably going to explore food quite a bit in this podcast, but maybe not.
Yeah.
But why did it not rock your boat? I thought it was delicious. I ate it with my hands in a traditional way.
Left or right hand?
I can't remember, but I know that one of them is better than the other. But I don't know. I enjoyed eating it with my hands.
Okay, yeah, I had naan bread with it, so I was eating that with my hands, but I wasn't picking up the food with my hands. But hey, I'm nothing against that at all.
But what about the saag paneer? Why didn't you like it?
I didn't dislike it. I just thought it was okay. I just thought it was all right. It didn't really rock my boat. It didn't send my taste buds on a firework display or not that I'd want that really, but it didn't. The flavours didn't really stand out actually at all. It seemed a bit
insipid,
wet. Just seemed a little bit
wet
spinach. And the halloumi, which was the bit I was most looking forward to, was soggy because it'd been mixed in with the wet spinach. So I didn't really understand it, but I didn't dislike it. And, I didn't leave it on the plate.
Yep, that's true. All right, well, onwards and upwards.
Did you love about it?
Well, shall I go first?
If this is one of your 10
this is saag paneer itself is not, but what first way that India changed my life this month is through spices. That's the headline, and what I basically mean is that there's so many different foods and curries. Even this mango lassi has a little bit of cardamom in it, but I really realize that it's this wisdom and this experience and this creativity around the use of the different spices, which is what really impresses me. And the key thing that changed this, my understanding of spices this month, was a very simple pestle and mortar. And we're staying at my mum and stepdad's house up in Orkney at the moment, and And there was a pestle and mortar, and I thought, oh, maybe we'll just leave this in the other room because we'll never use it. But actually, there was a couple of recipes that said, yeah, use the pestle and mortar. Mm. So we got it back out. And actually, it's brilliant because you don't need to have a pepper grinder. You can just smash them up. So black pepper, cardamom, all different bits, all ground up in this pestle and mortar. And the flavours and the fragrances are so much stronger. So I've been greatly enjoying flavouring, even on Tuesdays and Wednesdays when I'm not allowed to eat anything bad. I can still make something very tasty. And
who's not allowing you that?
Myself. Yeah. Because I'm just trying to get a handle on my...
Just what people don't think that I'm not allowing you.
Just getting a handle on... Actually, I look forward to it as well. Now I look forward to feeling healthy on Tuesday and Wednesdays. And then a little bit healthy on Thursdays. And then and then Fridays is different.
And then Friday you completely let go.
Yeah. But either way, spices and the way... the culture of India has celebrated and used spices. That's the first thing that's changed my life this month.
Okay, so I would say my first thing would be five things each to make 10. Mm-hmm. So my first out of five. I'll go on a food theme. I say that the food I've had has changed, India has changed my life in a culinary way because it's opened up the possibilities more to what I could eat, and I've always been very closed to Indian food, and I still am a little bit, but that's only because I know certain dishes are very hot and I don't like the texture. I don't like the the kind of what's the word,
you don't like those traditional Anglo-Indian takeaways that have things like chicken tikka masala and Rogan Josh, but in the metal foil cartons and that kind of consistency.
No, I really don't. And I don't really like it for Chinese either, to be honest, but I can probably tolerate it more in Chinese. Maybe because I had more of them as a child, maybe because they're not as spicy. But yeah, I don't like the consistency as well as the heat of Indian food. But I have been open to eating more Indian food this month, of course. I mean, having a lassi now, which isn't, it's very different, just yogurt and mango, which is nice. But I've realised I can eat curry, but it's more of a dry curry. And I prefer that, so I don't like a big sauce on it. But if it's more like a stir fry, really, but with the spices, then it's another dish I can eat. So that's my first thing.
Is what? Indian food?
Dry curry.
Dry curry, nice.
For me, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's just such a huge variety, isn't there? And I've been reading a good book that was on the shelf, Philosophy of Curry, and that's helped me learn more about how what we think of as traditional Indian food isn't actually that traditional. It's quite a westernized version of it. Anyway, your turn next.
Okay, for my second thing, I will move to the music. We always have, music's always an integral part of any theme. Helps us to kind of interact with it and for it to come alive. Some playlists are better than others in certain months. I think it was very strong this month because obviously it's a whole movement of a way of sounding and rhythm and melody and voices, which is very particular. I mean, you could say there are other countries, obviously, of the same region, which have a similar music. So I guess it's of that kind of, like I say, continent or part of Central Asia.
Uh-huh.
Is it East? No, it's not. South
Asia. It's
like
South Asia,
isn't it? Yeah, not Central, South. Anyway, but the music has generally been really good. It's quite meditative. It's quite thoughtful, it's quite philosophical, it's beautiful voices, it's and some of the, even though it's been in Indian, there has been some English in there for me to understand, what kind of theme or philosophy it's exploring in the song. And it's really slowed the pace down for me and I've really enjoyed that.
Nice. So what is it then? Indian music, that's your whole thing.
Well, I guess it's more, I mean, I haven't done any yoga this month, and I don't want to say it is yoga music, but there is a couple of songs on there, like the, I mean, the Beatles certainly did some songs, more Indian inspired songs, and also songs around Illusion. There's one called This Is an Illusion. There's one about called Layla, which was about life.
Leela and Maya, the illusion.
Maya, the illusion. Leela, not Layla. With Derek and the Dominoes.
Leela, the play. Play.
The play. Yeah, it's a bit of language and new language in there, and just very thoughtful. So I don't know. Do you want me to say specifically?
No, it's fine. I just so it's good to know. It's good to know. Yeah. A bit like with the flavours, you know, it's hard for us to say what Indian music or Indian food is because it's such a hugely diverse thing. But yeah, I get your point. And I haven't really got anything specifically around music, but seeing as we've mentioned Leela, I'll go with that. So, again, just scraping the surface in this month, but there's something we've been learning about in terms of Indian philosophy, Indian way of looking at life. And again, there's so many different religions, but some concepts such as Leela. So this whole life that we're in really just being a play of forms where it's almost like God is enjoying itself through its creations. So that's Leela, the play of life, and Maya, the illusion, and then this word, wonderful word, avatar, of avatar being like God, but come down in human form.
An avatar.
Avatar, maybe, yeah. Mm. And I feel very much just resonate with these ideas. And for me, life does feel like it could be seen as a game, or like a video game or something. And why not? Why do we have to take it so seriously? And yeah, we've got a lovely song, Leela, Leela, this life is just a game. Da, da, da,
yeah.
Which is really nice. So yeah, that's the fourth thing that's changed my life about India is Leela.
Leela.
Yeah.
Great. Okay.
And my fifth, I'm going to sneakily...
Well, your third, but it is the fifth.
Oh, yeah, so yeah. The fifth. I'm going to sneak in there and grab one which you might have been about to say. But yeah, so, I mean, Bollywood in general is great, but I'm going to... There's a specific film I'm going to mention, which is Barfi.
I wasn't going to mention Barfi,
I mean, just one example of a great Bollywood film, and we were looking up various different ones, and we've already seen some great ones in the past as well, but this one, I won't go into a huge amount of detail about the story, but what it like, it's so well acted and so thought-provoking and so un-Hollywood in terms of its ending.
It's more Bollywood.
but kind of, it's just a wonderful thought-provoking, sad, funny, heartwarming film that I can't really get out of my head, and I'm feeling quite emotional talking about it. And very colourful and engaging, and some good singing and dancing in there as well at different points, or at least some good music in the background. So Barfi as one element of Bollywood. That's something that's enhanced my life.
I think there's some really good, I think, Bollywood films out there you can get into. Because we watched PK a few years ago, didn't we?
Mm.
For the Alien Month. And, you know, that was, it was phenomenal. I mean, it was a really good Bollywood film, but he was an alien as a main character. We didn't watch it this time around because obviously we'd watched it a couple of times.
Yeah.
But that for me was I'm not going to say, I just wanted to add to yours, you know, that there are other films and that's another one that stood out. I will go with, on the kind of, well, film literature idea, and I got, I went to my writing group here in Stromness, met a guy who was from India, and I asked him some questions. I just went up to him, I'd met him before, and I said, oh, can you just tell me everything you know about India, basically, or just recommendations. And the one thing he said, because obviously there's so many films or music, but one thing he said to me was, read Midnight's Children.
Mm.
And so I knew I wouldn't be able to read it in the time, because it takes me an age to read any book, and I think this is quite a big book, but I managed to get the audio on the internet. And
what have you got through it?
I am on the last chapter.
Ooh.
But they're quite long chapters, but you know, it's fine, I don't mind it kind of bleeds into the next month, because for most of it I have been listening to it this month, and it's really good. Like, it's just a very really good idea. It's well written. It's Salman Rushdie. It uses elements of magical realism, which we've been really interested in anyway on the sidelines. So just this boy who's born at the stroke of midnight at India gaining its independence in 1947, I think it is. And because he was born on the stroke of midnight, why are you looking at me with a funny face?
Oh, I'm just...
you're just staring at me with your mouth...
Agape. No, I just thought, I was watching you and I was enjoying hearing you tell the story. And then I thought, oh, you seem to have quite a serious...
I am serious.
Look on your face. I thought if I had a big grin on my face, it might...
No, it just pisses me off. And now I've lost my flow. And if anyone is listening to that, they totally don't know. We've lost it.
I'm so sorry. I apologise.
You're doing a silly face.
But luckily, leela leela, this life is just a game. So it's nothing to worry about. But I can remind you, you were talking about Salman Rushdie, Midnight's Children, Elements of Magical Realism, 1947, India gained independence, and that's when the main narrator is born.
And he was born at the stroke of midnight, and therefore, the magical realism part is that he has telepathy. Which I say, so he hears voices of other people, everyone, and that adds a different dimension to the story. But what I liked about it politically is that you learn a lot about India and all the different religions and languages, and all the children that were born in the midnight hour of independence. They all have telepathy, and they all represent the different sectors of India.
Mm.
And they all can't agree, and they're all kind of not at war with each other, but there is conflict, and it shows that India went through a turbulent time when it gained independence. So it was a good time for it, but it obviously had teething problems, and I think the book very cleverly mirrors that, but through a story of two young boys. So India, Midnight's Children, it's altered my life, changed my life, my understanding of India, given me more of an in-depth insight. And really enjoyable book to listen to or read.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it your turn again?
Yeah. I think
it is.
My fourth one is dancing. Were you going to say that?
No.
So we've learned some dance moves, and that's been really fun. In the last week, I've certainly dived into that, and we went to a little virtual party and shared our moves, and I think it was just lovely to learn some very different moves I wouldn't normally, and synchronize them to the Indian music and just be free and enjoy that.
I was quite impressed. It's the kind of thing that we will, in a couple of days, we might just forget and never do again. But I'm glad we got some footage of it.
Do you remember the hustle from Disco Month?
I remember the bit that's like the typical John Travolta Saturday Night Fever move.
Because we were really good at the hustle as well, and we did that synchronised, and I can't remember it now. You have to keep these things up.
Yeah, well, I think we would definitely redo the hustle, but this Bollywood dance we've learned is a bit more challenging, I think. But I think we've done really well.
Yeah, I think we did we pulled it off, and we can show it off wherever we go. So anyway, how it's changed my life? Well, it changed my way of dancing, perhaps. That's my fourth thing.
Great. So what have I got next? I am going to say Siddhartha. So going back to you said about literature. So Siddhartha is a book about an Indian called Siddhartha. Now, it's not actually written by an Indian. It's written by Hermann Hesse, who I think is a German. Okay. But it's very much... all set in India and very much embedded in Indian philosophy and culture. And it's a really beautiful story I read when I was a young man, and I must have not read for about 20 years or something. So I've reread it now this month, and I love it. So I guess I shouldn't really ruin the story, but in a nutshell, it's about a man who is disillusioned with aspects of his life, and he tries all different things. He tries to be a rich person, he tries to be a samana, which is like a sort of a kind of a spiritual person, but who fasts a lot and like makes their body, you know, puts their body through its paces and stuff to try and reach enlightenment, and all these different things. And then and then it's exploring what enlightenment is, what awakening is, and what it is to follow your own authentic path in life. And I really very much enjoyed it. So that's reconnecting with the wisdom of that. Yeah, so Siddhartha is my other thing that's changed my life about India.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, and my last one?
Yeah.
I'm not sure if you were going to say this, but I'm going to say games.
Oh, that's good. I was going to say, I was between two, so if you take that one, I've got one left.
Okay, that's cool. So, yeah, we just had a bit of fun. Now, there was one called, we were just having a, it was in bulk, which is as part of the Wheel of the Year turning round. It's not as famous as Yule around Christmas time, and it's not as famous as, what's another famous one?
The summer solstice?
Yeah, there's one around summer solstice.
Harvest?
Yeah, there's a harvest one. Anyway, there's all these different ones. But anyway, in
Halloween,
bulk...
Halloween, is that one?
Yeah, yeah, Halloween is Samhain. In bulk is like in February, around Groundhog Day, and it's like when spring hasn't quite come, but the seeds of spring are in the belly of Mother Nature. Oh. Anyway, we thought, let's have an Indian in bulk. So we had the dry curry that night, yep. And we listened to some nice music, Indian music. And then we also thought, let's play some games, Indian games. So we looked at one called Antashakri. Do you remember that? And it was like, yes, it's this yes. singing game that apparently is very popular yes. in India, where someone sings the line of a song, and whatever word you land on, the next person has to immediately sing another line of a song that begins with that word. It was something like that, but it was very, very, very funny. And we had to really simplify it to make it work for us because it was so hard. But also, we made up a game. It was like a little synchronicity. We were like, let's find any random game from Mum's game shelf. And we got one called, what was it, Boot Me Home?
Is it Over You Go, Off You Go?
Off You Go, Home You Go. But inside that was this one that looked a bit Indian that wasn't actually meant to be in that box. And it looked a bit like Ludo. And we were like, oh, it is a bit like Ludo, but a bit different. So we looked it up and it's called Pachisi, which is an Indian game. Yeah, and then we have... Again, linking to avatars and Leela, we have created our. Oh, we must play it later. We've created yes. our own rules to it, so it's all about as a ego connecting with your avatar and bringing it with you to help you reach enlightenment.
No, I think the ego is the avatar, isn't it?
Oh yeah, the ego is the avatar. It's about your higher self.
Higher self, yeah. It's about your ego running around the board in a frantic frenzy, trying to be enlightened. And actually finding the little lantern, you know, the little kind of nuggets or whatever you call them, the things that will enlighten the individual.
Yeah, so it's great fun. And it's just like Ludo as well. So, yeah, we'll play that later. Anyway, so as general, Indian games is something that's enhanced my life. That's my last one. Over to you, Adam.
Yeah, okay, so I'll finish with... Well, it's kind of using perhaps the geography of India and my fusing with my imagination. Like I said earlier, I haven't been to India. I can only imagine from what I've seen, you know, kind of on TV, films, news, what India might feel like and sound like and look like. And I went for a run around an area called the Loons behind us, which is a fairly big area. It's actually... If you run around them, it takes 5 kilometers, so it's actually a perfect 10k run going one way then the other. And interestingly, running around the Loons is the shape of India. It's kind of like a triangle.
Yeah,
fan
it's
shaped.
Weird how similar it is.
It's amazing. It's got exactly the same, very similar dimensions. So when I ran this earlier this month, I kind of didn't even realize the shape of it, but I looked across the Loons and I started to imagine I was in India. I could just see the kind of the water, the muddy kind of flats and the hills in the distance, which, you know, you'd have to stretch imagination for them to be the Himalayas. But, you know, the hills they are here. And then I just really went to town with enjoying the idea of kind of Indian people doing their fishing or going about their business and cows with long horns, just, you know, in the farmland and huts with incense, which we've got up here now. So like smoke rising from huts and seeing Hindu gods on top of huts and houses. And I, you know, as I was running around, there's not many houses in there, but the ones I did see, I really imagined they were more Indian huts. And little kids playing in water and stuff like that. And then I came home and I looked at the run I did and I looked at the shape and I thought, oh my goodness, it's like Little India. And then I just called it Little India.
And there is a Little India in Singapore and we have been there.
But there is a Little India, but now there's a Little India in Orkney.
There certainly is. And I guess just kind of like to say what you're saying, because I love that as well, walking around it and using my imagination. But of course, that's like just, there will be so much really modern stuff in India as well, and skyscrapers, and it's not like everyone lives in mud huts.
This is true, but
it's like a romanticized countryside version of
India. And also, if I start imagining people in skyscrapers, then I'm not really in India. I could be in any city. Like it was something particular about the thing I was imagining which felt Indian.
And I was very inspired by that. I started spotting things like this little hill that in someone's farmland I'm not allowed to go up. So I called that Kanchenjunga, which is a forbidden mountain. And then we found a long wall going down.
Chimichanga.
Kumbaya. Kumblaga.
Yeah, Kumbaya.
Kumblaga, which is the Great Wall of India, which I'd never heard of.
Kumblaga. And also the corner shop can.
Oh yeah, the cairn that we went into.
The corner shop cairn.
On the Isle of Rousey, and we played a great song by the band Corner Shop in there. And
so we had a little dance in the underground tomb of death. That's where they buried their dead. And we called it Corner Shop because that's the name of the band. So yeah, and we did this, we did it with David Bowie, we've done it with other themes, but it's quite nice to put our own stamp and alchemise places. And that's where India's left its mark on places here where I'm living currently and will always remember.
Yeah, and hopefully you'll get to India one day, and I'd love to definitely go to Darjeeling.
I think Darjeeling. Yeah. I had a feeling about that.
Yeah, it looks amazing and not too big, and got links to the film, that film Barfi is set in it. Anyway, good.
Near the Himalayas, and I imagine it's like Kyoto in Japan in the sense that it's the, I'm not saying it's the old capital, but it has that kind of old town kind of sense that
I wonder if it's quite touristy. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Yeah. But, more the tea. It's known for its tea, isn't it?
Yeah. Which I don't like that much actually. I bought some Darjeeling this month.
It's very delicate, isn't it? It's just very subtle, I think.
Yeah, what's the point in subtle? I guess I just have very base taste buds. I've got more of a common base palate.
Oh, that's a bit down on yourself, isn't it?
Well, I've got other things that I'm good at, but my taste, I would never be, someone who gets paid to taste things. What are they called?
It's like a sommelier.
That kind of stuff.
But for food.
Yeah. But,
no.
But I can smell all right.
You do smell all right.
Yeah, and because I'm better at smelling than you. Anyway, it's going off on tangents, isn't it?
You're better at smelling. Oh, yeah.
Well, sometimes you're like, is this milk off? And I can't even sniff it.
I can't smell a thing.
It makes me boke.
My sense of smell is totally off. Like, I mean, it's fine because I kind of live in a bubble. Like, I don't really smell anything, so nothing really affects me.
So,
nothing good nor nothing bad.
No, nothing good, nothing bad. It's all an illusion. It's all Maya.
All a game? Maya and Layla.
Leela.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been a fantastic... It's been crazy to do a whole subcontinent in 28 days. And of course we haven't. We've just scraped the surface, as we said. But it was a brilliant theme. Well done, Denise. And now we move our attention to...
We're moving to a new month.
March.
We're going to March, so we're going into spring. We're looking forward to more light, the clock going forward, getting a little bit warmer. I mean, slightly here, I guess.
Oh, yeah. And also looking forward, of course, to our life being changed in 10 or more ways.
Oh, yeah.
By a new theme.
And the theme that's going to change our life next month is...
Giants!
Thank you, Diogo, who came to visit us with his wife, Lucy, earlier this month, and we talked about themes, and he vehemently said giants would be a great theme.
Yeah, so there's going to be lots of different ways we can explore this, including finding the most giant vegetable we can to put on the table.
Do you remember that spinach leaf I found this month?
Yeah, it was kind of off theme. It should have been.
I know, it was bigger than Moogie, and she's a big pig. But this leaf...
That's reminded me, I'm glad, because we moved on from India now, but forgot to say that we found out a guinea pig,
oh yeah,
our kind of spirit animal, is actually called in other languages cochon d'Inde, which is like pig of India. So we actually own an Indian pig.
Not a guinea pig, but an Indian pig. We should be calling it an Indian pig.
And we put an old crate of Jaipur in her cage.
Oh, so no, she's the been beard, run, just the box.
Just the box. So she's been running through the
Jaipur tunnel.
The Jaipur tunnel through the gates
of
Jaipur.
She loves the Jaipur tunnel.
She's our little Jaipur princess.
She is our... Well, I thought she was our princess of Punjab.
But I don't think Jaipur's in Punjab.
Oh, okay. We'll
have to check on the map. I think we're done.
We're at time. So have a wonderful month if you're listening to this. If you find any giants, hopefully in Orkney, there's a few big stones, gigantic stones, and whales, of course, are quite big.
And remember, the new simplified website is www.theforgottengame.com, and you can get in touch with us through there.
Yeah, just keep in touch, and hope to see you, speak to you soon. Enjoy your month, whether you giant it up or not, and we'll be back at the end of March.
Love you all.
Lots of love. Bye.
Bye. Life.